Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of African Pioneer. Welcome, Colin, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Yeah. So I guess for the listeners who don't know the African Pioneer, so do you want to start by introducing the company and what exactly they do?
Well, African Pioneer is an exploration company. It's got assets in Zambia, in Botswana, and in Namibia. So it's well placed down in that southern end there, and it's copper, and in Namibia there's association of gold with the copper and silver in association with the copper in Botswana. We have a Sandfire, the Australian listed company, a strong copper miner, is our 15% partner in the company and was there pre-IPO. They're our partner in Botswana, and we have a very strong partner as in the name of First Quantum in our Northwest properties, and which are being explored in Zambia. So really, it's a nice portfolio with every major contribution in two very, very exciting areas where there's much news flying about. So, you know, we've got other people generating our news, let alone what we might be generating. Well positioned. With copper today going through about 8,004, let's face it, if you believe in copper, this is a well-placed company. If you recognize that you need some assistance for the heavy lifting, i.e. finance and the access to really top-notch resources, you need major partners. And it's nice to have your own project, which Namibia's got. So in a nutshell, that's me reckoning that our African Pioneer is very well-placed for the emerging copper story.
Sure. So obviously it came to market around circa about 18 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, around the 3.5p IPO / raising price. Would it be fair to say it is in a better position now than it ever has been?
Well, the real change, well, there's been two changes in position. No, there's been three changes, really. What's happened to the projects is the first question. Well, when we listed, the joint venture wasn't in place. That was done post-listing with First Quantum. Since we've listed, a lot of work has been done on our properties by Sandfire, and we've got a truly large strike distance to be explored in the early in the new year. And not only that, our own projects, you know, because Sandfire had options some and kept some, and they too have got really good legs. So, and then, you know, you've got discoveries in the area which have completely changed the profile, namely Cobra, Kavango, isn't it? There's a lot going off in that. And so we've got a lot of companies working for us as well as working for ourselves. So the new year should bring lots of excitement in the Kalahari. So that's definitely changed. It had prospects. And we were left with we had a portfolio, which some of which we gave to Sandfire, some of which were on option, and some we kept ourselves, all about advanced to pace. That joint venture, it's profound. I think is that the word? It's as good a word as any, I think. Profound. The one with the First Quantum in Northwest. We firmly believe, and we published news releases to that effect not so many weeks ago, that we're into the Western Forelands. We're into Kamoa type mineralization. And really, that had some effect on the market, but very little. And I think that the new year will see the benefits of that coming out. Because, you know, the Kamoa, it's the second richest mine in the world. It's spewing out money. You're talking about grades of 6% and a flat dipping ore body less than 10 degrees. And we now know that the structures, the lithology, the old style is not standard Zambian copper belt, but indeed is the Congo copper belt. And we've sort of not acknowledged what's happened down there in Namibia. With our project down there, we've drilled it. We've proved the presence of gold. We've proved with Ongombo there. We've got quite a big distance of strike, which we know is open pittable. And the modelers now are sort of seeing what size is the open pit, what contribution will it make to the actual ore resource. We know it will increase it, of course. And we also think that it may be minimize the cost, capex cost, and nuisance cost of having to make entries to access underground workings, because we will access an open pit. So all in all, this African Pioneer has advanced a pace in the right space, copper.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you mention that, because obviously Cobre have been, you know, ramping up their exploration. And then I believe you've got the Sandfire's Motheo mine, which is actually ramping up into production. So do you see, and I'm pretty sure that there's, you know, other than Sandfire and Cobre, there's not much room for any other sort of explorers or producers coming in. Do you think that 2023 could potentially be a good year for African Pioneer in that respect?
Oh, no, it's massive, Phil. You know, when we started off this journey, we were looking, you know, both us and Sandfire, we were talking about extensions to T3, the mine you just mentioned. We call it T3. That's not the case anymore. A lot of what we're doing is potential standalone and not supplementary feed for the new mine they're developing. And I think, you know, I can say with some conviction that since we started African Pioneer, listed African Pioneer, Kalahari has not moved, has not stayed at two mines, i.e. Cupric Canyon and Sandfire. It now has become a region. And I welcome new entries because, quite frankly, I mean, you know, some of the strike distances we're looking at, some of the potential for mineralization that we're looking at, the way the model is changing with new results from Kabanga, with new results from Cobre, it's an old new ball game, and it's much bigger than those two operations.
Colin, what is going to be happening then on a timescale point of view then, do you think, in sort of January, February, March, and then going through to the middle of the year and then towards the end of the year?
Difficult to forecast, but I suspect that our own drilling will start early in the new year, and I hope that it comes up with the right required results in Kalahari. I also hope the Sandfire come up with results as they start drilling in the Kalahari. But I think there's two factors. One is more mundane. That will be news that our Ongombo mine is going to come into production, what style of mine it will be, what size of mine it will be, how many tons of copper it will produce per year. Because, you know, we have a mining license there, Kevin, 25-year mining license. But I think that what's newsworthy is we've already announced that we're into the Congolese-style mineralization. I rather suspect that will be, well, I don't suspect, because I'm at the mercy of the drill machine. But in terms of early news, early new year news, I think one has to look at the joint venture with First Quantum. There I see transformational, if the, you know, the wind's behind us and the drill machine comes up with the results, of course. There's many ifs in exploration. But the very fact that we proved the lithology is Congolese, the very fact that we now know we're not in standard copper belt, the very fact that we're into much lower risk profile, country risk profile with Zambia than over the other side of the border in Congo, says to me that we'll be on the world radar screen of every large company which is interested in mining. And of course, we've got a large partner anyway in the form of First Quantum. We're doing extremely well. The market cap is high, well respected by the market, a good company.
Yeah. What's the financial implications of all of those positive things happening? What's the upside to AFP in that respect?
Well, the upside to AFP would be, you know, if we start a small mine, that is, AFP is a producer, but that, of course, will take time and will take most of 2023. Whereas the Kalahari and the joint venture in Zambia, they are projects much above the capability of a junior mining company, and therefore they become for sale projects. And, you know, my wish, if you've asked me what my wish list would be, my wish would be, of course, is that one of those projects mature enough to attract a commercial offer from a major. And, of course, the major, like, we've got the majors circling with us now in terms of First Quantum and Sandfire.
So it's Christmas, and we asked you this last year as well. But what is your best Christmas present that you've ever received?
The best one I've ever received. That's a knockout blow. What's the best Christmas box? I think good health and the ability to, I know you might think I'm sucking up to the interview or to the podcast. I think, but the best Christmas present. I think Christmas is ongoing. I can't be a day man. I feel the same about the New Year, quite frankly, Kevin. The best Christmas box I think any person can receive is good health and a clear path in front of them and not too many issues around them. So I don't think looking back, I could actually get one single event and say that's Christmas for me. That was wonderful.
And the opposite then. What is the best Christmas gift you've ever given?
The best Christmas gift I've given, I think, is almost the same is that I think care and attention for other people. And it's, this is very personal in a way. It's, I think these things are more spiritual than they are material. And so to me, the best Christmas box you can give is trying to make other folks' lives better and not be selfish. And I think we live in a world where that is not particularly easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So I'm afraid I can't give you a material answer. I really
No,
can't
it
give you a
doesn't have to
material
be a
answer.
material answer. It is almost certainly better to give than receive. And normally what we give is not always material, or even if it is material, it's also tied to giving of our time. You're obviously a very busy man, so somebody dictates or not dictates somebody you give somebody some of your precious time. This is going to be seen as a great gift.
Yep, and I do look forward to the break, but I tell you what, Sod's Law being Sod's Law, every Christmas has brought to me a deal in the offing, and I do curse it, but at the same time, I can when for some daft reason, I don't know the reason, but it Sod's Law, as I say, the number of times, I've been belting off to Atlanta Christmas Eve, for example, a few years ago. It's amazing. It's amazing the way they mature. And the first, when First Quantum acquired the Callon Beeler, of course, we were working like billy-o through Christmas with the paperwork. So Christmas has got a way of turning into a very great corporate event, as well as some fat turkey coming to the end of the road.
Well, let's hope for shareholders that you get a similar sort of call this Christmas then, hey, Colin, in any of your companies.
Let's hope so. So let's hope so. I really do hope, of course. I hope for us all. Yeah, I hope for us all because we've got a good band of supporters, and let's face it, none of us have had a good year one way or another. And shareholders in the same market and the resource sector in particular, small company resource, basically have had to grip the teeth. It's not been a good experience, was it?
No. Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of African Pioneer, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year and
Thanks.
all the
Merry
very best to you
Christmas.
both.
Yeah, and you. Cheers.
Merry Christmas.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.